for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Saturday afternoon, September the 3rd, 1983. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Steve Bell is the teacher of the afternoon.
Again, we come to you. And Father, we want what you want. And we know that without you we're nothing. And so, Father, we come as receivers of the promise. We come, Father, standing on your word, believing your word. And, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask for the Holy Spirit to come and do a mighty work in this place. We ask you, Lord, that the angels come and join in to do battle, that the warring angels come into this place, set up camp, and begin even now to persecute the enemy. Drive him like chaff after the wind from our midst. Make his way dark and slippery. Throw him into confusion and confoundment. Let him be scattered in Jesus' name. Lord, even now we begin to bind the strong man and bind the demons. In Jesus' name, we bind you, Christ, and take authority over every one of you. Every one of you that would hinder this service, I bind you. Every demonic power that would come against this word, I bind you. Every power of witchcraft, every confession, every mocking spirit, every scornful, contentious spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of unbelief, I bind you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. Every spirit of fear, in Jesus' name, right now, I bind you. I bind you. I bind the fear of demons. I bind the fear of Satan. I bind you in Jesus' name right now. I take authority over you and bind you right now. I bind you. I curse every root of bitterness. I curse every root of rejection. I curse every root of rebellion. I curse you to bear no more fruit. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. Praise you, Jesus. I bind the spirits that have been sent against this ministry. I bind you in the heavenlies. I bind your kings with chains and your nobles with fetters of iron right now. I bind the principalities and powers over Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Lake Hamilton, Arkansas, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the Prince of Arkansas in Jesus' name. I bind you now. I bind you with chains and fetters in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you. Take authority over you. Throw you down. Pull you down from your high places. We bind you in Jesus' name. We take that authority through the power of the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and praise you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to throw a tree at you in a little. Let's turn over to Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, beginning in the 23rd verse, get down to some practical application of the word. And Israel had just come across the Red Sea, had a mighty victory, that had a great celebration. They'd been praising God and glorifying God, dancing with their tambourines. The song of Moses came forth about the horse and rider and all these mighty things. And then, when they came to Marah, or rather start in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved or tested them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put or permit none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Yahweh Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. God finally gives another name other than the name I Am. He begins to reveal himself to the people other than being the God of the now. And the first revelation he gives of his nature is a healer. I am Yahweh Rapha. Say that with me. Yahweh Rapha, the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Now, the people had come out with a mighty victory. And they came there 3 days in the wilderness. They were only 8 days from Canaan. It's about an 11-day journey from where they'd come out to Canaan, so I understand. They were just 8 days away. 3 days without water, following the leadership of God with the cloud of smoke by day and the cloud of fire by night. And finally, on the third day, they came to a place of water. And I'm sure they all ran up there just so excited, anxious to drink, and found it bitter. And what did they do but begin to murmur against God, against the leadership? And we know that Moses cried out to God, and God showed him a tree, and the tree was Jesus. And the tree was thrown into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Now, brothers and sisters, the water of the law is bitter water. The water of legalism is bitter. And if you're into the letter of the word, the letter of the law, you're going to be bitter. Because Messiah came and brought life to the letter and spirit to the letter and turned the bitter to sweet, because he came with grace and fulfilled, not did away, but fulfilled the law. One of the biggest mistakes, I think, that believers are making today, and I love to hear grace, and grace is here to stay. But grace does not eliminate all of the law. Because grace came to take the law from the external and put it into my heart and write it. The new covenant says, behold, in the new covenant, I will do what? I will write my law upon your heart. I'm going to put it in you where you'll have a nature in you, a Christ-like nature, to walk in it naturally and not legalistically. Praise God. Now, so many of us want to just take the old book and just throw it away. Now, grant you, the ritual and the ceremonial aspects of the law have been fulfilled and we don't observe them anymore. You're looking at me awful hard. But who said that we dispense with the rest of the law? Who said that? Where do you find that? In the book. See? Now, we don't get saved by the law. I don't know why I'm having to say this, but I'm saying it. Praise God. We don't get saved by the law. But we don't throw the law away. I finally got this through here and got it in here. See? And now it's getting down here. Now, there are things that we're learning, and I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here, but there are things we're learning about divine health. And we're learning that, hey, God will heal me miraculously. And God will keep me. But God has put down some laws. And if I don't put the right thing in this thing to go in this thing, I'm going to have to go every Sunday and get a healing. And finally, I'm going to fall into rebellion. And I'm going to die. You like that, didn't you? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. We found out that hyperactive children have demons. And we cast the demons out. But as long as mom and pop still feed them granulated sugar, the demons come back. Isn't that amazing? And like I was saying about this little girl yesterday, we found out that we can cast out the demons of epilepsy. But if we don't keep her off of sugar and keep her on a good diet, she starts having convulsions again. Isn't that amazing? Now, is God, what's wrong with God? There's nothing wrong with God. He just keeps his word. He's laid down some things for us to walk in, not in legalistic bondage, don't hear me that way, but in obedience response. See, he's testing us. Part of what we're going in, are going through right now, is truly a testing. God's brought us to the bitter waters. It wasn't your pastor. It wasn't your elders. It wasn't the deacons that caused all that bitterness there in the local church. Because all pastor was doing was trying to follow the cloud. And praise God, it wasn't his fault that the cloud ended up over the bitter water. But who do you want to get mad at? See? So it was God that says, I'm going to take you down here and give you some bitter water. Because we've been on a drunk. Come on now, we've all been on a drunk. We've been drinking this new wine of charismatic movement. We've been dancing and singing. And just almost like the drunkards of Ephraim. Passage over in Jeremiah. God called out and he says, behold, I'm going to fill all the vessels with wine. People says, hey, Lord, we know you're going to fill all the vessels with wine. God says, I'm going to let you all get drunk and I'm going to dash you together until you destroy one another. Boy, that's a sobering thing. Listen, I thought for a long time that the answer to everything was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But God says, I'm going to fill them all anyway. Behold, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon who? All flesh. All flesh. And even the heathen are going to have visions and dreams. Amazing.
I thought just for us.
The Spirit of God is going to touch all flesh. Now, there's more to it than just getting drunk. See, there's more to it than that. So God says, I've got to prove them. I've got to prove them. So let's see how they get the bitter water. Because, see, that little roll that Ezekiel got to eat was sweet. Tastes good, Lord. Even John got to eat a roll. Tasted good. Oh, that tastes good, Lord. But, boy, it's soured on my belly. And I just love to hear the Word taught. I can sit all day. Miss meals. I was telling Brother that I was out in Ohio last year at an encampment for a week. Black brothers and sisters. We're way up in the hills somewhere. I don't know, way out about 100 miles out of Columbus somewhere. I don't even know where I was. I just got there at night on a plane, and they just took us. If I'd have had to get home, I'd have been in trouble because I don't know where I was. But one afternoon, they got me up about 2 o'clock, and they said, just teach. And man, about 2 hours, I said, well, amen. They said, no, teach us some more. And for 5 hours, we talked. And about 7 o'clock, we broke and we had supper. And then about, I don't know what time it was, nothing went on schedule, but about 10 o'clock we had a deliverance service. And boy, by after 5 hours of teaching, I mean, I taught on Leviathan, I taught on Ahab, I taught on Jezebel, I taught on, you know, I threw it all in there. And I came in there about 10 o'clock, and there everybody sat with a plastic bag rolled up on the top, leaned over in their chair, saying, come on, come on. The truth. And boy, did we have one. Woo! We had one. I think I got in bed about 3 in the morning. Boy, I mean, we had one. But they wanted free. And boy, did God honor the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I told you, I've got to practice what I preach. I told you preaching is not going to deliver us. That alone is not going to deliver us. Eventually, we're going to have to cast out some demons. So I'm not going to preach all afternoon. All right? Now, so, God brought him to the bitter water, and what's it say here? It says that he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved or tested them at the bitter water. Then he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I'll permit none of these diseases upon thee. Now, what's he saying here? We're talking about curses. When I disobey the statutes and ordinances and the word of God, I open the door for the enemy to come into my life and curse me. When I disobey the word of God, I'm asking for it. Some of you are sick today, not because your heart's not intended right. It's because you've been disobeying the word of God. You've got a temple here to take care of and be a steward of. And you haven't been doing it right. And you're mad at God. Some of you have been to every healing camp, convention, preacher, cassette tape, book, all over the country. I've traveled a little bit. Not that much. I'm not that big of a deal. But I see, sometimes I see the same folks. I say, Lord, what are we looking for? I mean, you know, it's not New York. It's not in Los Angeles. It's not in Chicago. It's wherever we're going to obey the word of God and believe God. So it's right here. It's right here. If you think you didn't find it anywhere else, let me tell you, I got good news for you. It's right here. This afternoon, it's here. He's here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, some folks say, I don't believe in curses. Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. Well, I just walk out in disobedience and sin. And you'll make yourself a believer eventually. See? Eventually, you'll believe. See? Hallelujah. See? It affects your finances. As Sister Irma said, if you don't tithe, it brings a curse. And God means what he said. Well, that's under the law. Well, Abraham tithed. And I know there's something better than tithing. We're trying to learn it at Agape in Dallas. We're trying to learn that before we take an offering, we pray. And God's liable to say, give 20%. See, but if I'm led of the Spirit, the Spirit's going to lead me into the Word. And he's going to lead me to do what the Word says. Amen? Yes. Praise God. All right. Now, let's turn over to Matthew 5. And I'm going to, there's really about 2 days of teaching here, but I'm just going to hit the high points. Now, beginning in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, he's teaching, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a powerful verse. We need to really look at that again. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, your righteousness has got to be more than an external thing. It's got to be something inside you. And ye've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council or fool. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, don't try to spiritualize that. It just means what it says. Sometimes we get so spiritual that we can't see just what the word's saying. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Now, one of the biggest needs that we have to get healed and delivered is to first of all get free of bitterness. Bitterness. And the primary thing that looms in front of all of us is bitterness toward God. We've all been led by the Lord down to Marah. He has intentionally done that to test us, to see what was in us. And many of us have been angry and bitter toward him. Now, we blame leadership, we pointed the finger, but you know the principle. That it's not the Lord, it's not the leader, it's the Lord in the leader that we're mad at. But come on. Let's get honest. Oh, I'd never be mad at the Lord. Oh, not me. No. It's not the Lord's fault. But deep down inside, you believe He's a sovereign God. And deep down inside, you're bitter at Him. Praise God. We'll talk about that some more. Now, I realize that there are some people that have masochistic needs, needs to punish themselves, needs to bring pain to themselves, that hold themselves in bitterness. I also realize that there are folks that have to prop themselves up and prop their egos up, and they do it by criticizing, being angry, resentful, and bitter toward other people. We use it to cover our own failures. We use it to gloss over our problems. But the problem is not someone else. The problem is not my parents. The problem's not my local church. The problem is not what kind of school I went to. The problem is not the denomination I came up in. The problem is in me. Just like the answer and the solution is in me, so is the problem. I've got to take responsibility for that. That's why we don't like to talk about demons. I don't want to admit that I've got one of those things in me. But praise God, the good news is we have authority and we can cast them out if we want them out. Hallelujah. Now that ought to be good news to you. Because there are aspects of your personality that are really not you. People ought to shout over that. And yet I see preachers getting mad. Oh, no. See people getting mad when I say, well, that's good news. I thought it was me. Man, I rejoiced when I heard this. I said, praise God. I'm not as bad as I thought it was. But then I had to take responsibility to not let that thing rule in my life anymore and cast him out. So the responsibility is always coming back to me. I thought maybe the Lord might have me teach on passivity. Well, there's a message just burning in my bones about the passivity that's in God's people. And we've been taught it by TV, but we're being taught it from the pulpit too. Just sit there. Yeah, praise God. Arise. God gave me a scripture in Joel the other day, just before we went on a trip, and he says, wake up the mighty men. Wake them up. Beat the plowshares into swords and the pruning hooks into spears. For I'm going to call them down into the valley of decision. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Some of you are here at this weekend camp to make a decision that will affect the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Now, let's get back into Matthew 5 now. Basically, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, show me why we get bitter. Why? What's the basis of bitterness? And of all things, he led me to this passage. Because primarily this passage in Matthew 5 throughout the rest of the chapter and part of chapter 6 is on unforgiveness. Jesus is talking about forgiving. And this whole passage is basically dealing with why people get bitter. Now, the primary reason that bitterness gets in is because of fulfilling the law externally. The adversary here in verse 25. Now some say, well, the adversary is God. Well, I don't see it that way. I'm sorry. Somebody wants to disagree? That's fine. But my adversary has constantly been the devil. He's my adversary. Father's on my side. That's the way I understand it. Now, I know I can turn him against me. I understand that. But the adversary requires you to keep the law. He'll demand it of you. He'll demand it of you. He knows the word. And that'll put you in bondage quicker than anything I know and make you bitter. Some of you don't understand what I'm saying. See, he'll accuse you when you step out of line. Who do you think accuses you when you step out of line? Who condemns you? Not Jesus. He's there to forgive us. But when I step out of line and I sin, who said, oh, you did it? Who's the legalist? And there's no mercy in him, see? All right, you did it, you got to pay. And we buy that. I got to pay. And we misdirect the anger. Now, that's why a lot of old-time Pentecostals are bitter.
Better not cut your hair. Better watch out what kind of clothes you wear. Better watch yourself.
That'll make you bitter. That'll make you bitter. More than anything else, it's our relationship with God that the adversary comes in and accuses. And we get bitter. The basic root of bitterness is toward Father. I said the basic root of bitterness is toward Father. You don't believe me yet. Now, let's talk about some of these. In Matthew 5, beginning in the 27th verse, we'll not take time to read all of this, but maybe some of them. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, one of the bases for bitterness under this legalistic bondage is this. Is anything or anybody that dominates or controls me will cause me to be bitter. If I can't control my eye and I continually lust and I'm continually praying, God, I shouldn't lust. God, help me not lust. God, deliver me from lust. Lord God, what's he say? He says, take the eye and pluck it out rather than I be cast into hell. Now, what will defeat you? Bitterness. So anything that dominates or controls me can be a basis for bitterness. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that. I know people that are bitter toward God because they're still smoking cigarettes. God, you're supposed to deliver me of that. This thing's controlling me. People are bitter toward God because they haven't gotten delivered of anger, haven't gotten delivered of lust, haven't gotten delivered of whatever it might be. Because something is in control of their life. And it creates anger and resentment and bitterness. Now, the next one is, in beginning in the 31st verse and through the 37th verse, talking about putting away your wife. Let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her is divorced, that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, you've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto thee, or you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king, and so forth. Let your communication be nay, nay, or yea, yea. Now, the next basis of bitterness is covenant breaking.
covenant breaking. Anytime you have made a covenant with somebody, or an agreement, or a contract with somebody, and they break that agreement, it opens the door for bitterness in your life. For instance, many times, children that grow up to be teenagers, that grow up to be adults, are bitter because parents have broken promises to them. Now, it might not be a big thing, but don't tell your child that, look, when I get home from Hot Springs, if you'll go and be nice, I'll take you to the zoo. And then get home and forever have an excuse why you can't do it. To that child, it's important. And if you continually break covenants with that child will grow up bitter. Not only toward you, but toward Father. Because you're the symbol of God's authority in that child's life. Amen? Divorce? Now listen, when you go through divorce, there's a tearing, there's a hurt, there's no way to hardly avoid it. Because guess who glued you together? God. And that's the word there. He shall cleave to his wife. And that word means to adhere to be glued to her. And I've seen some glues that I used to work with in woodworking shop that when you pull the boards apart, the board would break before the glue. But covenant breaking will cause bitterness. All right? Verse 38. You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not evil. That ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, give him thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now here's the other area. I call it abuse of authority. There are going to be people in your life that one time or another will abuse their authority. Now see, the story is here, is the Roman soldiers, and you know the story, it's been used 100 times, millions of times. I even used to teach it when I was a Baptist. You know, if he asked you to go a mile, you know that the Roman law was that an Israelite had to carry the pack of a Roman soldier 1 mile, what we would call a mile. It was law. So, you'd be walking down the street, going out to Safeway, and you're in a hurry to go pick up a loaf of bread and get back home for supper, and a Roman soldier taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, come here. Come here, Jew. Carry this a mile. Here I am trying to get home. But Mr. Soldier, can you let me off this time? I'm just trying to get back home with this loaf of bread." No. You know what the law is. You know what the law is? So you put his pack on and you gather up his army and here you go for a mile. Now see, the Lord, I saw it this way. He could get 3 guys saved. He'd say, "I'm going to get 3 of them. All of you are going to carry it a mile, but you're going to wait till the 3rd mile. So this guy has to walk 3 miles total. You see what I'm saying? He says, all 3 of you come on. All of you got to carry it 1 mile. You're going to carry it the 1st mile, you're going to carry it the 2nd mile, you're going to carry it the 3rd mile. Now, see, a criminal mind will think up things like that. So here this one guy goes and says, 3 miles, 3 miles. Another guy, 2 miles. Now, that's abuse of authority. But there's going to be people in this world, even in the churches, that will do you that way. Abuse you. Talk about my little grandson. He stays with us once a week. He comes up and he says, "Papa, I need to stay all night with you." I love it. I think he does too, you know. But see, I could abuse my authority. I could say, "You've been bad. I'm going to lock you in the closet. And I'm big enough to hold him in there. So he gets himself straightened up." Not authority, see? Pastors, leaders, parents can abuse. Big brother over little sister. Some of you are bitter because of that. I was the second child. I was the third child. I was the middle child. You know, bitterness. God, why was I the middle child? Because eventually, it's all pointed to Father. He's my God. Why didn't He do better? All right, let's hurry on. Verse 43. You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, just a little sidetrack here just for a moment. I was someplace and I said, I'm going to chase a rabbit. You know. And they all laughed. And later, pastor told me, he said, you know why everybody laughing? He said, you're going to chase a rabbit? I said, no, why? He said, our folks don't believe in eating rabbits. So the next night I said, we'll chase a deer tonight. How's that? Chase a cow. Well, you didn't get that one, did you? Don't take this, you know, don't be so serious. Maybe I'm serious. I don't know. It's a serious business. Now, but it says, bless them that curse you. Bless them. Now, there's going to be witches and people cursing us and so on, but the word says, bless them. Bless them. All right? Now, what happens when somebody curses you or hates you or despitefully uses you or persecutes you? It causes pain, doesn't it? It's painful. And anything or anyone that causes me pain can create bitterness in me. See, anybody that causes me physical pain or anything that causes physical pain, if I'm going through physical pain, I have to be very, very careful. I'm going to get bitter toward Father, especially if I believe in healing. Now, some of you are mad at God because you're not healed. Some of you are mad at God and bitter toward God because you're not delivered. You're blaming Him. You got the healing message. You got the deliverance message. And oh boy, we're going to get it done now. Nothing's happened. But see, the problem is, it's like a vicious circle. As long as you're bitter, you won't get free. You've got to get rid of the bitterness first. It's the key. It's the key. Now, one more. Verse 46. If you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, complete, whole, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, we can go on through chapter 6, verse 4. For this one, but primarily, just for the sake of time, let's just say this. We get false expectations. We get the idea that we have a right to be loved. Who said so? Well, my parents, they were supposed to love me. Who said so? Oh, I know. Well, the Word of God says so, yeah. But see, that sets you up for bitterness. You owe me love. They owe me love. Someone owes me. Expecting something from somebody that they can't give. See, I finally realized that my parents weren't able to do any better than they did. And I finally was able to say, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't realize that they were affecting me like they were. That's the best they knew. I can't hold it against them. You know, and sometimes we expect too much from ourselves. And we get bitter. We get turned in on ourselves. And guilt and full of condemnation and guilt because I can't do it. I mean, I see these people walking in the victory and I see this and see that. But you know one thing I found out? I used to come to meetings like this. I used to come right here. Sit out there. I say, oh boy, I'll never get there. Oh man, look, listen to that teaching. Look at them sing. Oh, God. But then God began to let me get acquainted with some of these people. I says, oh, wow, man. They're just like I am. It's the truth, isn't it? I'll never get there. Oh, God. I guess I'll just give up. Don't buy that lie. Praise God. Praise God. Now, see, give up your rights. God doesn't owe you anything. Oh, but His Word decrees it. And I decree the Word. Now listen, a lot of those people that got in that extreme message are gone away from the Lord. They're broken and bitter today. And I don't want to prophesy gloom and doom, but I'm telling you, there's going to be more. We've had people come to us in Dallas. I mean, they come dragging in the door of our church, and they lost their life savings to a teaching that says, give it all away, and God will give you more. Give your car away, God will give you a bigger car. And we had folks come to us, they've given away every... Now, I'm not saying there's not a principle there. There he is. Yeah, letter of the law. God may speak to you and say, give Steve Bell, you know. Now, you be obedient, you know. But I mean, bless, they got greed. Oh, yeah, get a bigger house. People give their houses away. Greed, lust. So, this thing of, I've got my rights, God owes me, God's got to heal me, God's got to deliver me. He doesn't have to do anything. Give up those rights. Because, you know, I'm finally learning something. Not everybody comes through the door. I'm supposed to deliver or heal. The healing's in me. Praise God, I lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Father's teaching me to be an obedient son. And Father begins to say, hands off. They need this, for I brought them down to Mara. I want to see what's in them. There's a timing in this. There's a timing in this. I don't understand it, except that I know that God has been working in my life the last 6 years, and just a little over a month ago, had a tremendous breakthrough in my life. I'm going to share about that tomorrow. But I see how God brought me to that. We possess the land little by little. I'd like to have it right now, God. Oh, man. Can I get it on the installment plan? I mean, can I just get the thing now, and I'll pay you out? Huh? Wouldn't that be neat? Put it on American Express. Let me have it now, God, and we'll work out some way for me to pay you back. All right. Now, quickly, show you two things. We'll get into ministry. Ruth 1, verse 20. Remember Naomi? What's that name mean? No, not Naomi. It means pleasant. Sister Naomi, she'd come down to local fellowship and she was so pleasant. I just love to be around Sister Naomi. She's just so pleasant. Got such a sweet spirit. She's so submitted to her husband. Praise God. And I sure did hate to see them move. I don't know why they had to move down to Moab. I heard she got down there and that her husband died and her sons died. Did you hear that? Yeah, I heard something about that. Boy, I haven't heard from here in years. I wonder how they're doing. One day in local fellowship, there in the house of bread, Bethlehem, Naomi shows back up. Oh, Naomi, we're so glad to see you. Oh, you are such a blessing to us. Don't call me Naomi. God's been tough on me. He took my husband. He took my sons.
call me Mary. Mara, Mary. Because I'm bitter. You know what we found? We found that there's power in names. And I don't want to put anybody under any bondage, but if your name is Mary, I'd break the power of that confession over my life. Because it's a confession. I'm thankful my parents, I don't know why they did it, but their name is Stephen. They spelled it right, too. It means crowned one. That's the confession when people call me that, see? Hello, crowned one. I love it. And a lady, strangely enough, walked in our office one day a few weeks ago, and she says, I used to work in Israel. She'd come into our bookstore. And she says, I worked for rabbis. I was a secretary for a rabbi in Israel. She says, my main name was Bell. And she said, did you know that we come from an area in Russia? I said, oh, I didn't know that. She said, do you know what the word name Bell means? I said, no. She said, it means Son of God, El. And I said, well, praise God, I like that name. Crowned one, Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, I know some folks are not going to like this, but we've had some folks change their name. We got a brother in our fellowship now that his name was Lucian. And his middle name was Philip. So he's had Lucian or Lou all of his life. He's dropped it, and he's using Philip. And I'd rather call him Philip than a Luciferian type name. See, why did Jesus change people's names? Why did God change people's names? Why did God say, Abram, you're now Abraham. Sarah, you're now Sarah. Simon, you'll shaky read you. I'm going to call you Peter. You're a rock now. Something to think about. If you're going to have a child, you pray about the name of that child. You say, Father, you show me the nature that you are putting in that life, and I will call it that. I will call it that. Hallelujah. All right? Now, turn to Joshua 14. We'll finish. I'm going to give you something to shout about. Hallelujah. In Joshua 14, beginning in the 6th verse, the children of Israel had come to, our children of Judah, rather, had come to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb came. And he came before, and he says, now, I've been with you all the way through the wilderness, 40 years, he says there in verse 7, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought his word again, as it were, in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Hallelujah. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now look at verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is that? 85. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Praise God. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. Now, here's an 85-year-old man going up and saying, look, man, I'm ready to go to war. You know, so many people, you know, oh, God, Lord God, let the young folks do it. I'll just sit back here and pray. I'm too old, Lord. I hear you calling, Lord, but I guess I missed it. Now, listen, none of you are too old. But you see, I heard God calling when I was 18, but I got married and I got a family now, and I've been on this job 15 years, and there's no way. Come on. 85-year-old man. Now look at verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this pleasant valley. Give me this mountain.
That right there.
Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for he thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the city were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron means fellowship. Caleb means dog. He has a dog-like nature. There's a wholeheartedness, a faithfulness about him, like a dog. He just gets on your heels and he just won't get away. Faithfulness. Now, here's what God showed me when I was reading this. I was excited about the overcomer nature. Give me this mountain. 85 years old. I'll go to war. I'll take it myself. Now, that's what God's bringing us to, see? That kind of a nature. We're changing from an agricultural to a warring community. There's a transition taking place in the body of Christ. We're beating our plowshares. We used to plow. Now he's saying, get your sword out and make you some spears.
Amen.
Don't care how old you are. But here's the thing I want to bring in. And it just leaped out at me. How many years? Here he'd gone into the promised land. He brought back the grapes, tasted of them, says, man, let's go take it. It's ours. Hallelujah. And, oh no, there's no way. There's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And the whole of Israel, that spirit of unbelief spread out among them. And they cried and wept all night. And then for 40 years, here's Caleb in the wilderness with these murmuring, bickering, unbelieving people. 40 years. 3 men against 1 million plus. Waiting for all of them to die. 40 years. We could have had it. We could have gone in. We could have already been there. We don't have to be here. He could have been the most bitter, old, grouch, crank, bent over, humpback, wrinkled man that ever was, if he'd have let himself. But he just walked for 40 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord bless him. Lord, I forgive him. God, we're going to get it one day. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why verse 11's in there. You want to know what'll kill you? You know what'll drain your strength? You know what'll make you senile? You know what'll put humps on your back? Right. You know what'll turn you blind? Make you hang, deaf. You know why God said at the bitter waters, my name is Yahweh Rapha? Because he said there's something about bitterness and infirmity. I guarantee you something. Every infirmity in this room is tied in some way with bitterness. Now God's already thrown the tree in there. If you're a believer, the tree's there. So that's not the problem anymore. The problem's over in Hebrews. Let's look at it. In case some of you don't know where it is. 12, verse 14. See, the water's not bitter anymore. The tree was thrown in. Grace has come. Jesus is here. It's sweet like honey now. Land of milk, honey. Follow peace with all men and holiness. There it is. Peace with all men. And holiness means that I've got peace. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Who is it gets to see the Lord? Blessed are the pure in heart. What makes my heart pure? No bitterness. I'm like Caleb. I've wholly followed thee, Lord. I haven't observed the murmuring. And listen, I'm preaching to myself. I may get down here in the altar. I don't know who will lead the deliverance, but I'm not proud anymore. God delivered us from pride. I went to a meeting in Houston with Frank Hammond. We had a meeting down there, a four-night meeting. The fourth night, Frank was leading the deliverance, and I got
I got so stirred up that I had to just sit down and get me a trash can and get with it myself. Well, I said, come here and pray for me, brother. Oh, not here in front of everybody. You're one. I said, forget it. I want to cast these things out of me. Now, 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail or fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Fall away from the grace. When we're bitter, we're not operating in grace. Because God's looking at those parents, those that have abused their authority over us, those that haven't loved us when they were supposed to, those that have dominated and controlled us, and His grace goes to them. It falls on the just as well as on the unjust. He forgives them. He forgives them. Forgiveness is there. The Lord's forgiveness is there. It's for them. It's for them. It's for them. And if I am going to be in His image, if I'm going to come as a deliverer, overcomer, and Savior, I come with the same thing. I am the forgiver incarnate. Brother Varner says, and we were agreeing on this last night, fellowshipping a little bit, the way we're going to deliver is to forgive. And the deliverance is going to be for ourselves, first of all. And then for the others. When we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I remit your sin. I have that authority. Because He's in me. The forgiver's right here. I can forgive sin. Why do I need to be able to do that? So I won't get bitter. When they persecute me, and they talk about me, and they preach their false doctrine, and give their false prophecy, what do I need to do? Father, I forgive them. Oh, I'm preaching to myself. I want this tape. I want to listen to it. That's what's happening. Now, there are spirits involved. This is where we step into the real world. There are demons. There's a root of bitterness that gets down in us, and it doesn't come out easy. Oh, I've gone through that forgiveness prayer I don't know how many times. How come you're still bitter? Because you haven't really got serious yet. But praise God, if you want to get free today, you can. And it's the key to all the rest of your deliverance. I'm telling you the truth. It's the key. You can't really receive the word that's coming forth here with that bitterness. It'll bounce out of you. It's a thorn that raises up and it'll choke it out. You'll get home in a week or so, you say, oh, I felt so good down there at Lake Hamilton. I don't know what's wrong now. You know what's happened? That old thorn, that old root sprouted up again and choked out that word. You'll be back in the same old rut again. 10 days. Let's get rid of it. Let's let go. Let's let go. I think I shared it before. We had a man come to our house one day. A brother brought him. He was a prominent oil man in Dallas. He'd come up in a denominational church, and they brought him, and they'd found lumps in his larynx or his voice box. He'd been diagnosed as cancerous, and he was scared out of his mind. Man was about 60. Brother said, let's pray for him. I brought him over here so we could agree together, and we'll pray for him. Cast out spirits of infirmity and cancer. We got down around the coffee table in our living room there, a little place in Richardson. We began to pray, and God said, bitterness, bitterness, bitterness. So I got up and I said, brother, I said, the Lord's telling me that there's some unforgiveness in your life. You're bitter about something. And so the other brother told me, he said, well, you see, he had a daughter that was raped. He said, not only was she raped once, but she was raped twice by the same man. Two different periods, months apart. And they never caught him, and she finally died. because of insanity. And I said, brother, you're going to have to forgive the man that raped your daughter. Oh, God, no, I can't do that. I said, brother, it's your cancer or your bitterness.
Amen.
And he began to shake, and he wept. And it was I never seen anything like it. I mean, the man was quaking and shaking. And finally, it seemed like 30 minutes, he was able to, I forgive. And then it broke. And he wept and he wept and he wept. And the peace began to come. Years of this. There is absolutely nothing or no one that you can afford to hold a grudge, resentment, revenge, or hatred or anything towards. You know that, don't you? You know that. Now let's let it go. Let's let it go. Just bow your heads. Put your Bibles down and just pray something like this. I'm not going to lead you. You just pray. Something like, Father, you know, I come to you and I confess unforgiveness. I confess bitterness. And I make a decision now to let go of all of that. I know that in my own strength I can't do it. But I know because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I can do it. And then just simply say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive the following. And name any and every one that comes to your mind. There's going to be some that are going to appear that you've forgotten about. Clear back in childhood. Clear back when you were a little boy, little girl. Some playmates. Stole your pocket knife. Broke one of your dolls. Let the Holy Spirit do a complete deep work in you. Some of you need to forgive the United States Army. Some of you need to forgive a policeman. Some of you need to forgive the Internal Revenue Service. We can't be fighters, folks. God didn't call us to be fighting fundies. He called us to be forgivers. Those things that happened to you in your life, you needed to make in you what God wanted you to be. After all, you haven't suffered to the shedding of blood yet. Some of you may have been hurt in an accident. You need to forgive the person that hurt you. Accidentally shot. Somebody ran into you. An automobile. Whatever it might be. Forgive. Forgive. Father, I just ask for the work of the Holy Spirit to come and guide us into all truth. Truth about ourselves, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that the root of bitterness just be rooted out today. We ask you for deliverance, Lord. Healing from this defiling root. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, I just come to pull up that root. I curse it. Like Jesus cursed the fig tree. I ask you, Father, to set the captives free that are bound by unforgiveness and bitterness. We just praise you for it. Praise you for it. Hallelujah. Some of you need to make a commitment to the Lord that when you get home, that you'll go talk to somebody. Some of you this afternoon need to go find a telephone and get on the phone and go call somebody and say, please forgive me, or I forgive you. It might be your parents. It might be a brother or sister in the church. But some of you need to make some restitution. I know that by the Spirit. That you need to get right. There might be somebody in this camp meeting that you need to go to and say, forgive me. I've had aught against you. Or somebody that's hurt you, go to them and say, you know, I forgive you. I know you didn't know you hurt me. But I forgive you. God means business. Because he tells us plainly in the Word that if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven.
Amen? Amen. Now, he absolutely will forgive you if you'll forgive others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. They go together. Thank you, Father, for healing. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just throw that tree in the waters. The people are the waters. Let the waters be sweetened this day, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit just work now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, keep your heads bowed, if you would, just in this moment of the work of the Holy Spirit. There's another area. While you're praying and while you're letting the Lord minister to you, there are some of us that have taken up the offense of others. Someone's hurt your loved one. Children especially. And wives. When someone comes against their parents. Or a wife sees someone coming against her husband. This is why ministers' wives have so many problems sometimes. Is because they bear the offense of their husband. They see their husband being persecuted. They see their husband being talked about. They see pressures on him, and they get angry at the people that are causing it. The husband gets it resolved, but the wife will carry that. Now, a child will do the same thing. They'll carry that offense of their parents. My daughters have had to fight that. They've gotten angry at people that they've known that have come against me. And they won't let it go, and I will, see, because I'll deal with it, because I'm with it. But they don't know. And they sometimes don't have opportunity to go to that person like I do. So let that go. Forgive those that have offended you because they've hurt someone you love. You hear what I'm saying? Let that go. Holy Spirit, I ask you just to quicken to everyone in this room, even the children. Bring to their mind. Let them see who it is that they need to forgive. They may not know the name. The Lord knows. Just say, Lord, I forgive that person that did so and so. In the name of Jesus, I'm letting that unforgiveness go right now. I remit their sin. Just say, I remit their sin. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. God's doing a powerful work here right now. If you'll just receive it. I'm going to help you some more. Just keep your heads bowed. Anyone that's dominated or controlled you, forgive them. Name them. Might be your wife. It might be your parents. Just forgive them. Anyone that's broken covenant with you, divorce, someone promised you something, somebody owes you money. Now, this is for some people here. You need to let that money go today. Just say, Lord, I don't care if they ever pay me back. I release it. As far as I'm concerned, the debt's canceled. Let it go. I know by the Spirit that it's a relative. There's someone in here that a relative owes them some money, and you've been resentful. Let that money go and forgive them. And get free. Hallelujah, that's good news. It's the key to your healing. I know that. Let all those debts go. Let them go. What's a pile of money? Hallelujah. Praise God. Whew. Boy, I tell you, something's going on here. Hallelujah. Everybody in the back now, just stay in the flow. Sometimes it's hard in the back. Anyone that's caused you pain, physical pain, emotional pain, whether it's intentional or unintentional, forgive them. Anyone that's caused you pain, anything that's caused you pain, forgive them. Anyone that's failed to live up to expectations, a child that's been rebellious, forgive them. But God, they ought to know better. Forgive them. Anyone that owed you love and didn't give it to you, forgive them. Just say, Lord, I give up my rights. I don't have any rights. I'm a dead man. I'm a dead woman. I died at the cross. I don't have any rights. Okay? Now I want you to stay in the Spirit. Holy Spirit's doing a mighty work here. I want you to forgive yourself. The Lord does, not me. It doesn't matter what I want. The Lord wants you to forgive yourself. I mean, I want you to get down with it and say, I absolutely forgive myself. I'm not evil. I'm not even guilty. Father loves me. And I'm forgiven. I'm not a failure. Praise God. I forgive myself. Praise God. I forgive you. You are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, I remit your sins. I remit your sins of unforgiveness and bitterness. I break the curse of Marah. Now, one other thing. Listen closely now. This is important. This is the key that's going to open the deliverance here today. Father, not that you've done anything wrong, but I forgive you. I forgive you, God. I forgive you, God. I forgive you that you haven't healed me. I forgive you because I haven't seen my prayer answered yet about my child. I forgive you, Lord, for I've helped bitterness that my husband hasn't changed. Lord, I've been bitter. Go on and tell him. He knows it. Just be honest with God for a change. Come on, be honest, saints. My God, let's get honest. We lived in hypocrisy for years. Don't sit there in rebellion. Don't sit there and be mad at God. Let it go. Be the greatest day of your life. Lord, I forgive you. Father, I forgive you because I've been bitter about people that have persecuted me. I've been bitter about, Lord, you calling me into deliverance and people not understanding. I've been bitter, Father, and I confess it before my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, I forgive you. Lord, I confess bitterness and resentment and God. I've been resentful toward other ministers that are seemingly more successful. I confess that, Father. Lord God, with your help, Father, I'll never speak a word about them again. Jesus' name. I bind the strong man. I command you demons to begin coming out of God's people now. Get out. Get out. Come on. Out. 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 Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Get out. Unforgiveness. I cast you out. Unforgiveness. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Hatred. Hatred. Spirits of hatred. Come out. Hatred. Come out. Hatred. Hatred and resentment. Come out. Come out. I cast you demons out. I cast you demons out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Get out. Get out. Hatred. Come out. Hatred. Spirits of hatred. I cast you out. Get out. Get out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hatred. Come out. Hatred. Resentment. Come out. Come out, demons. Come out. I cast you out. In the name of Yeshua. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Hatred. Hatred. Come out. Hatred. Come out. In Jesus' name. Unforgiveness and resentment. I cast you out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. In the name of Jesus, I curse that root of bitterness. I rebuke you, bitterness. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus, now, anger. Anger spirits, come out. Anger, come out. Anger, I cast you out. Anger, get out. Anger, 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 come out. Anger and violence, I bind you and cast you out. Anger and violence, come out. Anger and violence, come out. In the name of Jesus, anger and violence, get out. Get out of these people. Get out of us.
Break curses in Jesus' name. Go, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's the sound of war. Praise God. Hallelujah. The noise of the battle. Hallelujah. We've had the wrong concept of church. We've wanted reverence and all these things. But it's, we're an army. Praise God. And every once in a while, an army has a battle. And we hear swords clanking together and screams and hollers of something getting poked. And it's not me, it's them. We always win. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we're really getting prepared for tomorrow. See? We've been laying foundation for 2 days. Now, I want you to set your faith. And if some of you really believe in God, I don't want to cut in on the prophets around here, but skip a meal. See, everybody thought that the deliverance minister was supposed to fast. I did too for a long while, and I like to starve myself. But you can see I didn't do too bad. But if you really believe in God for something specifically, fast at least one meal between now and tomorrow afternoon. All right? And go off and pray. Go down by the lake. Walk out the road or something. Just spend some time and say, Lord, I want to show you that I'm really, really serious about this. Amen? Now also, I know that in what we stirred up here today, that in the hours and even days ahead, the Holy Spirit is going to bring to you remembrance of bitterness-inducing experiences. You're going to have what the world calls flashbacks. When that comes, deal with it. Forgive them. Break a soul tie if you need to. And get the little book, Breaking Free, if you need to. And use the prayer in there if you need some help. There's a little chapter on unforgiveness and a little prayer in there. And just deal with that. Don't push away from it and say, oh man, I don't want to remember that. No, we don't evade them. We finally grow up and face them. You face it. There it is. But I got Jesus now. Lord, I forgive. Heal me. Let it go. There might be somebody that's even dead. Things you'd forgotten will come. All right? Let it happen. But deal with it. Amen? That's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, so on. But tomorrow afternoon, praise God. We're going to have a Lulu, whatever that is. A Lulu, a Sally, or whatever. Praise God. We're going to minister. We're going to teach on rejection tomorrow. And I just think God's got a real word for you tomorrow. Man, it's been tremendous. Praise God. I want to turn over to Brother Glenn. I know we're getting short on time, but we want to go giving thanks.
We're going to praise the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to fill every area so there's no place for anything to come back to. We're going to stand and praise the Lord. We're going down to the lake, down this way. Anybody wants to go down for the baptismal? Anybody wants that's going to be baptized, come down where the canoes are. That's where we're going to go to just as soon as we walk out of here. But right now, we're going to all stand. We're going to praise the Lord and thank the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to fill every area that's been vacated. Amen. Father, we thank you for all that's been accomplished this afternoon. I praise you for it. We thank you and ask the Holy Spirit to fill every area, Lord, so there's no place for anything to return to except for your presence. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.